When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can tell this, but we don't show prep, so he had no idea.
I just barely make it in.
You know, I'm sure you can tell, but we don't show prep.
I mean, let's put the cards down on the table here.
Miami Hurricanes, yeah, you know the name already, it's Mercy, ha ha, it's a six-ring cane show, can't forget the name though, got Jazz, Blue, Vision, DJ, break the game code, ain't no changing up, ain't no breaking up, real reporting live from the Hard Rock Stadium, ball 14 for the orange and green, we see the six-ring champs, it's more than a dream, this is life on the field, beyond 100 yards, a hurricane that's never still, put a damage to your squad. The Six Rig Kane Show. The Six Rig Kane Show. The Six Rings Kane Show. You know.
What's wrong with us? Seriously.
What's wrong with us? We're Miami Hurricanes fans.
Welcome to the Six Rings Kane Show, a show dedicated to Miami Hurricane sports, featuring the legendary Larry Bluestein, Jazz Santana, Vish, and Danny Gillette. Let's go, Canes.
And in a lot of ways, it is like the NFL. You know, so, I mean, that's, I told you the story when Charlie Partridge told me, he goes, you know, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for this part of it. If I'm going to do it, I might as well go make $2 million, $3 million in the NFL, and that's what he did. So,
yep.
I think you're going to lose a lot of OG coaches over the next couple of years because they're just,
they don't want to deal with
you
it.
Know,
for that they
they're just not used to this.
Same thing.
They're just not used to this inconsistency of keeping kids, and they're not. You know, you look at Nick Saban. You think he didn't want to get involved with the transfer portal or NIL, because that's not him. He's old school. You're either going to play for us or get your ass out of town, you know, and there's going to be a lot of guys like that. You know, the old school guys couldn't coach now, because why would they want to? And even the young guys.
Crazy.
Huh?
It'll drive them crazy.
Well, it's going to wear thin on the younger guys too, you know. Listen, you know, you look at guy, you know, up at Florida, Billy's going to get, you know, he's going to lose all these kids. And then all of a sudden he goes, is this stuff worth it? No. You know, I don't think so. You know, Norvell's still got a few years. If he keeps winning, he'll have that opportunity to go to that next level. And you weigh it. And, you know, I mean, that's.
I think there's going to be a few guys, and this is what's going to happen, right? Just like how it is now, or even, you know, in the past 10, 20 years, how Alabama just kind of, you know, it was Alabama and Georgia and Clemson, you know, some of these, just a couple of schools that just figured it out, man. They figured it out, and they were able to compete and at a high level and kick everybody's ass. I think the same thing's going to happen, like you mentioned, Boo. A lot of these coaches are not going to be able to hack this year in and year out. But there's going to be a few coaches, 5-10 coaches, that are going to be able to do this because they're psychopaths, right? They're going to be able to just do this, love doing this, a.k.a. Cristobal, maybe even or Norvell, right? These guys got it down. They understand. They know how to do this. They love doing this for some reason. This is their shtick, right? This is their niche, is doing it like this. And those are the guys that are going to be successful. And you might,
and they're getting paid handsomely to do it.
Well, so. Yeah, no kidding, right? That helps too. But right, those are the guys, the top 5, top 10 guys, they're going to figure it out, and you're going to see those schools consistently be able to
turn over. Yeah, the rest of the guys will be a revolving chair. And
yeah, this was supposed to get parity and make this, you know, make this about every school without being able to compete. I think the same thing's going to happen. You bring up a great point, Blue. Coaches are going to get tired of it. They're not going to be able to do it because it's going to wear them out. They're not going to be able to keep up, keep up with it. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to get 5 or 10 sociopaths that are going to be able to do this without a problem all the time, every year, day in and day out. And those are the guys that are going to win. It's going to happen. And we'll see who it is.
And the days of the Xavier Restrepos are over.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know if they're.
You're not going to get a guy coming in there for 4 years.
I still think there will be some. I think there will be some. I think a lot of
this. They got to be performers. They just can't be blended guys.
Well, it's partially because again, part of this, as much as like we're talking about the coaches, you know, and them having to deal with it, a lot of this is them doing it. Some of these kids are getting pushed out. It's not all.
Yep.
It's not all like them just cut like so. Like this is again, this is the way they're conducting business.
Yeah.
And you know what? Yep. They got to learn how to manage people differently. They're used to having almost like you mentioned, Saban didn't want to put up with it because he's used to being a dictator.
Yep.
You know, welcome to real business in the world, like where your employees can quit whenever the hell they want. And you've got to keep them happy, sometimes with money, sometimes with showing appreciation, you know, presenting them like, hey, what's your, I mean, we, you know, in business, it's not abnormal to say, what's the 5-year growth for me? What's the 10-year growth for me? Obviously, this is a truncated timeline, but before it was just once they signed on sign day, you essentially owned them. It's just it's a different skill set, and like Blue said, some of them are gonna be like, I didn't sign up for this, and then others will adjust to it. Though I don't, this is nothing. There's nothing revolutionary here. It's just we're not used to it in this context. Most businesses, multi-billion-dollar corporations, are run on people that can walk out the door whenever they want, and go get another high-paying job somewhere else wherever they want, and they make it work. It'll settle down. But the coaches that want to just be my way or the highway, like Blue said, they're going to struggle.
Yep.
Because there's player empowerment now. But there's other ways, even outside of money, to show. Again, you take someone like Jaden Wayne. We don't know exactly what the push was for him to leave. There's a lot of competition. Jazz laid out all the names. Those are heavy hitters at the same position. You know, and obviously Bane and Mesidor are starting at the edge. Like, I mean, that's
or even so, Elijah Alston.
Yeah, I mean, so you're sitting here with like there's a lot of so I'm sure that has something to do with it. And Blue, you talked about this earlier, like where you call correctly, like, hey, this spring practice is tryouts, and they're gonna be a depth chart, and we're further down the depth chart, but also the names that are surprising people, those are people with the best options, right? Like Harrison Hunt's been a starter here. I think he started 20 plus games. He can get paid and start at a good program. Yeah. So he's going to go. Jaden Wayne is still like DJ said, this is not a reflection on his quality as a player. Mm. He played a lot as a freshman. We expect him to play more this year. These are the kids that have the options. So of course you're going to see some big names leave. I mean, we talked about this before, but Parrish's running backs coach was here, went back to Ole Miss. It's not surprising he went back there. That's his option, right? And so you're going to see some of these names that you're like, oh, there's no way that guy's leave because they're the ones with more options, better options, right? I mean, that's the reality of it. If we thought they were supposed to be, you know, starters or at least in the two deep and they're not, that means other schools thought they were going to be starters in the two deep and they're thinking, I have a starting caliber player here I can bring in. And we're saying, no, you're third or fourth in the depth chart. Guess what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Yep.
Right,
and I think recruiting is recruiting and player development and player and, you know, scouting. It's all relevant, right? It's everybody sees players differently. Everybody grades them differently. You know, all these grades and all this stuff and projectability. That's all relevant. So I think that what you know, as unfortunately that saying, you know, the saying one man's trash is another man's treasure. That happens a lot in sports, period. Not only college football, but just in all sports. So I think that's what you're seeing here, and it's just good point on your part, Vish. It's different. It's weird seeing it in this context because you think back to the old school. And look, I'm a kind of a traditional college football guy, right? I like the old school stuff as well. I like the old school mentality of players. I like the old school mentality of some coaches, maybe not all, right? I think Nick Saban was a little over the top, but that's why he won, right? He figured out a formula to be able to be successful and win, regardless of whether it was good or bad. You know, a lot of players love him for it. A lot of players are you know, better for it, whatever the case is. But times change. Players, you know, as people, you know, change, you got to be able to change and adapt with it. And if you don't, it's right. Kind of that adapt or die mentality. It is what it is, whether it's good or bad. It is, that's what it is. And so you have to be able to adapt, and you have to be able to stay up to date with everything that's going on. If not, you're going to get left behind, and that's what you're seeing a lot too. So,
And I the one thing that does make me a little bit happier about this is that the snake oil salesmen are going to be in for a much rougher time. Like the ones that lie to the kids to get them to sign. The ones that lie to the kids to get them to sign, and then like, now I own your ass and you're going to go sit on the bench. Like,
Kirby's smart. I mean, look at the Georgia quarterback room from last year. They had five really good quarterbacks and they were promised that they were all going to get playing time. Now, you know, I think three of them left.
Yeah. Right.
He's still going to be the number one team in the country. So.
Oh, yeah. No, but I'm just saying, right. Like, I was talking to a recruit's mom the other day, not Miami, but another program. And she said that, you know, they sold her son something and something else completely happened. And if you want to play the snake oil, the snake oil salesman game, you got to be prepared for some blowback. And that's just the way it is now.
Yeah. And I think it's going to condition how these coaches behave now. They're going to have to be more honest. Like, if you don't think the guy can play for 3 years, you're better off being honest with them about it and saying, hey, it's going to take you a few years to get on the field here. And that way, if they sign, you know, hey, this is probably not going to hit the portal because he knows what he signed up for. And so, you know, again, it's going to take time to get there. But I do think in the end, it'll normalize back to, we'll probably have more kids staying long because they're going to realize the portals, like Blues called us out, the numbers are the numbers. Yeah. And as they get more information, as schools get more information, as NIL brokers get more information, they're going to realize there's too many kids entering the portal, period. And you're going to see some of that pull back a little bit. It's going to take some time, several years to kind of get there. So we're just going to go through the bumps. But yeah, now if you lie to the kid to get him to sign out of high school, he'll be gone in a year.
Absolutely.
It doesn't benefit him or you. No, it's good because it doesn't benefit him or you. And then hopefully you learn your lesson. You realize, all right, let me just be straight, honest with them. This is my plan for you. Your depth right now, like for the next several years. And then eventually you might have a chance to get on the field. And if they sign up for that, they know what they sign up for. You'll lose a lot of kids that way. But what was the point of having them there for a year anyway? Just have them transfer.
Right. It's going to happen. Before we get into some of the players that Miami is looking to bring in, I kind of wanted to mention one guy that I think that might be the biggest, I guess the biggest blow to Miami right now based off of guys that have transferred out. And I only say it because you're still trying to find that guy. And it's Kobe Young, right? Obviously, he had a great spring game with Georgia. He's the talk of the town over at Athens right now. He's obviously going to be a starter for Georgia, which is going to be a top five, top maybe even the number one team in the country coming into next year, right? With you know, Heisman candidate at quarterback, that team is always loaded. I mean, a guy like that going to Georgia, now he's going to be potentially wide receiver one or just a starter on that team. I think that's the guy that you look at and you say, shit, like where was this at Miami? But then I catch myself and I take a step back and I say, sometimes people just need a fresh start at a new place.
Lawrence Cager part two.
Cager, right? Although I think Kobe's, I mean.
Cager's no, good, I'm right? just saying he went and got a fresh start and did well.
He did well. So I think this is you know, Kobe's shot.
Oh, Kobe could eat that league up if he really.
Yeah, he could. His size and strength and everything. I mean, there's one thing he did well. Like really, really well, and that's go up and get it, right? If you threw it up to him, he was going to go up and get it. We saw that a lot. We just didn't have someone that could throw it up to him to go get it as consistently as we want. We might have one now, but it's a little too late, right? I think that if Cam Moore commits before Kobe Young thinks about transferring, it might be a different story. He might still be here. So, but look, that's a guy that I think, you know, I don't want to say we'll miss, but that's a guy that I think could have been here and contributed and still been a starting wide receiver. Speaking of wide receivers, though, this is, you know, this is a great opportunity to talk about some of the guys that Miami's looking to bring in now that you're probably going to lose maybe another wide receiver or two. Maybe you got like Michael Redding, you know, something like that. Maybe even though Shamar Kirk had a great spring, he may be looking for another spot. There's still a look. I'm not throwing out. I'm throwing out Jacoby George. Some of the other guys are not out of the realm of possibility that they could be looking at another team also. So, you know, some of the guys that we've spoken about at Blue and Vish and DJ a little bit offline is two of the big names that kind of stand out to me right now are Kyle Williams, who obviously played at Washington State with with Cam Ward, who's one of his boys, just recently entered the transfer portal, I think a day or two ago. And Sam Brown did the same thing, entered the portal like a day or two ago. Of course, Coach Dawson loves him, coached him at Houston. Big kid, big, strong kid. Had one penalty all last year, and it was because I think he pushed some kid or it was a personal foul. He was trying to block somebody, and the guy got in his face. So aside from that, he's a really solid player. Good, you know, good hands, catches the ball, you know, has a great radius, yada, yada, yada. You can name it. He's a talented guy. Ends up entering the transfer portal, Kyle Williams as well. I think Elijah Badger is another one that Miami is looking at, and maybe a few other names. Blue, any of those guys kind of stand out to you, Sam Brown, Kyle Williams? Who would you want to see here at Miami? And could those guys come in and start at the U?
Well, the reason why Sam Brown, he's pretty familiar with the system.
Yep, yep.
And I think that he would be a fit. I think all of them would be, but I think Sam Brown's a little familiar with the system. And I just, you know what, you because hindsight is 2020 on a lot of these guys. Because when we were talking about some of them coming in last year and said, oh my gosh, you know, and then all of a sudden they didn't work out, you know, it's just like Carmoni McClain. All these people are talking about him on the internet and this and that. And they said, listen, he, DeMarcus Bowman, all these guys were can't miss prospects. And it's funny, you're all come out of Lakeland too. but here's Bowman going on his fourth school, Clemson, Florida, UCF, and now he's going to go to USF. And the thing about McClain is that when he left Lake Gibson and went to Lakeland, there were flares, red flares all over the place. But if you talked about him in a negative way, you were a hater. And I happened to see him, and I think I said on here a few times, and I remember you saying, Jazz, you're not too high on him, are you? And I said, well, it's not that I'm not too high on him. It's just that I see, you know, what he is. I mean, he's got talent, but big deal. A lot of people got talent. You don't have that dog in you and you don't want to play it. And tonight I had Chris Ewald on the show from Chaminade.
He just put out his top six, I think. He just put out his top five, top six.
Yeah, I saw that. But yeah. Think about this. Look at who he's gone against the last 3 years just in practice. You know, Josiah Trader, Kyle Washington, Jeremiah Smith. You know, I mean, and now – you know, he's got Denarius Graham and, you know, a couple of other kids. So that's what I'm saying, too. I mean, if you're built, you know, competition kind of scares people, I think. But I like the guy that's going to, you know, be the guy that's told, oh, geez, we got all these guys in front of you. And he's thinking in his mind, yeah, we'll see. You know, I like those type of guys because those are the guys who are going to give you everything and you can get the best out of them. And, you know, I mean, it's sort of like I think that Emery Williams is going to be like that. I just think he thinks that, you know, he showed as a freshman what he possibly could do down the road going into Tallahassee and actually, you know, not crapping the bed. He made mistakes, but freshman mistakes. But you figure you watched him in the spring. Cat's got a strong arm. You know, I mean, I look at guys like that. You know, I mean,
I think he might be the best passer out of the group.
And with that he showed it.
He showed it. He showed it in that spring game that he might be QB2 when it's all said and done this year. I mean, that's
he probably will be.
I think he looked so.
Yeah, I see. Ja'Cory Brown went to UCF for a visit.
Yeah, he's visiting, I believe so. But you mentioned some things, man. I mean, look, Cormani McLean. Look at the all the hoopla that's going on with him going back and forth with the coaches and talking trash. And you know what? At the end of the day, if you're a Canes fan, you're kind of like, whew, we dodged a bullet there with this guy, right? I mean, talented or not, that's not the kind of culture that you're trying to build. Forget about Mario. That's just not the culture you want at any school.
Anywhere.
You know? And
that's
so,
a cancer. Well, this is what I was talking about earlier, where in a way it's, you know, it's player empowerment, it's also responsibility. They're adults and they're treated as it, and he's gonna learn a life lesson now.
Right.
You can be as talented as you think you are. You behave like that, no one's gonna want you around. It doesn't matter how talented you are, and he's gonna learn that lesson the hard way now.
It's kind of like probably say kind of like a Willie Williams situation, right? Where he came in number one player in the country that year. And
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, one reason or the other, he just, you know, he learned his lesson and didn't do much at the next level. But yeah, Pimp Down says that Blue always thought Damari Brown was a better cornerback anyways. Yeah, and he's showing it. He's showing it. That kid is next level. He's a stud cornerback.
I'll show you all the emails that I got. You lost it, man. You're getting too old. You don't know. And the day I get too old to evaluate talent is the day I step out of here, because anybody could see, you could see, and I watch Cormani McLean. These guys, the thing that pisses me off is most of these guys on the Miami side, and they never watched the kid play. They saw him on tape, but I stood 3 and 4 feet away from him and listened and saw him dog stuff. And even in 7-on-7, people were saying all off season, you know, that cat's getting beat every time. Yeah. But no one would listen because everybody thought they knew better than everybody else. And that's why I don't bother with that, because if I can't trust my own opinion after all these years, you know, I'm in trouble. So, but I'm not going to get everything right. No one will get anything right.
Nobody does. Yeah.
But if there's
someone that I'm going to listen to first and foremost, it's definitely Larry Bluestein. So whoever doesn't, I think is.
But also, like, there's always an element of guesswork in everything we do here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
everything.
But even there's a difference.
Yeah. I mean, we don't show prep. We just
– That's true.
We're just guessing that we know what we're talking about.
We just got to start telling Jazz the show starts at 8:15 and we can start on these days. But anyway.
When you text me, I go, oh, crap. I had totally lost.
I forgot about
tonight.
Yeah,
we're lucky to know each other's names.
No, but the point I was trying to make, that regardless of whether like the prediction is right or not, because there are prediction merchants that basically take every sides of everything and then say, "Oh, look, I was right when they're randomly right." There's a difference between an uninformed opinion and an informed opinion. And Blue is the best in terms of having information, doing the hard work to then base his opinion. Doesn't mean it's always going to be right, but the process is right. To this point, a lot of these. Besides, they don't see any of the kids play. They're just group thinking their evals. So, you know, whether or not Blue is right all the time, no one is. But at least you know the work is being put in. It's a proper evaluation done. And, you know, sometimes occasionally a miss. But no one's going to put in more work and actually go see the kids play in person to form that opinion as much as he does. And that's why he's the best at it.
So speaking of evaluation, Blue. I got to ask you, man, number one, right? You know Don Chaney's over at Louisville, but you had two running back. You got one running back that transferred in, Penny Boone from Toledo, who's now entering the transfer portal again. You got Jalen Alderman, who's entering the transfer portal also. Two really good running backs. Is it because Don Chaney's kicking their ass over there, or is it because, you know, they potentially see an opportunity to go somewhere else, right? Because, you know, I'm
but you know what? Cash.
of course, but because those guys are talented, and I know one is kind of crystal balled at this point to Miami. Alderman looks like he's not. I know Damian Martinez also is another kid, the number one running back in the portal right now at Oregon State, who's crystal balled to Miami as well. So now you're talking about bringing those two studs in here to compete with the guys that are here, which is good because we talked about it. Mark Fletcher might not even be ready for the start of the season. You saw what you're going to get at running back with two guys, two freshmen kids, and A.J. Allen, who's still hurt. Right, so you got Wheatley Humphrey, and you've got Chris Johnson, both who look like they weigh 150 pounds soaking wet. So you still got to put some muscle on.
Still Chris got Johnson Lyles that will come in, and
you got Jordan Lyles coming in. He's a big kid, right? He's a little more
quick. He can dabble out. You very fast.
So that's good, but you got to bring in some guys. How do you feel about those guys? Yeah, how do you feel about those guys?
But getting back before I answer that, getting back what you said about Chaney, whenever all of us had the conversation. There was no doubt that when he was healthy, he was as good as anybody they had. To me, what he reminds me of is Javaris James. Because remember, Javaris was a big back, never got the flash, but he was in the NFL. He was a big back. And the thing about Chaney, think about his athleticism. He's a 7'1" high jumper. I mean, he's strong as heck. He's got a good.
He was my favorite running back
here. I still think that's why he's doing positive things at Louisville. But and the big but here is he's never healthy.
Right.
And throughout his Miami career, he never put three games together.
I'd be so pissed if he plays 10 games next year for Louisville.
I'd be so pissed if he wins the Heisman. Look at him.
Oh, man, I'd be so pissed. Anyways, Jalen Alderman and what's his name? Damian Martinez.
Martinez. I like Martinez. Yeah. I think he's a fit to this offense. He quit. He hits the whole quick. But you know what? What's his name? Allen. I still think Allen's a quality back.
Yeah, but he's hurt right now, Blue, right? He's still hurt.
Who is?
The spring game. It's crazy.
No, I know, but that's a quality back. Yeah. I don't know. Is it training? What is it that puts these guys on the shelf so much?
Man. I've never seen players get so hurt.
Had injury problems. Now. I remember. Honestly,
that's right. You would know. Yeah, you would know.
I remember, obviously, and you guys can make a joke, covering him at Nebraska, and he had injury problems, from his freshman year kind of onwards. So I think for him, I don't want to call him, a wimp or anything like that, but I think he's an injury prone player at times. And I think that just might be the way he is. But when he's healthy, as you guys know, he's a very good talent.
I think he's a big time back.
Yeah.
And you and I saw that Jazz in that practice over at.
Yeah, he looked good.
Yeah, he got through the hole quick and he looked like one of those runners.
You're hearing it here. You heard it here first. DJ thinks AJ Allen is soft. Just saying. All right, so you're heading.
Clip that. Maybe we'll get some hits on X or Twitter or whatever they call it now. And then
we got to tag AJ Allen. We got to tag AJ Allen on it.
No, but I remember his freshman year. He had a collarbone injury suffered in September, and he never fully recovered, and that kind of put him on the shelf. So I'm just wondering if injuries are unfortunately something that will follow him throughout his career. Well, I hope not, because he's a dynamic back, but.
He is good. He's kind of like that one cut guy, and he's off to the races, and he's hard to catch. Mark Fletcher.
He can cut so well.
I mean,
He did get injured in an elite way this year, though. So
he did.
Does everyone remember the play?
Yeah, he had the game of life. He hurdled the guy, right?
Yeah, he injured himself jumping over a guy on a touchdown run.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, if you get hurt, that's the way to do it, man.
Got to do it the right way. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Mark, look. Him, Mark Fletcher, obviously the best back here. But he's also got a little bit of an injury bug to him. He's got to kick that also,
Let me tell you something. It's not a little bit of one, and that's crazy. That's why why don't people just come clean and tell the truth what's wrong with these guys instead of dancing around everything?
I don't know. Oh, man. That's why I think it's important to get guys like Damian Martinez and Alderman in here because those will be your starting backs, right? Them and maybe AJ Allen. Those three will compete for the starting job. Martinez probably, he's a stud, right? The kid is really good at Oregon State. Pretty good at Louisville too. He's a good back, The good thing about Alderman, I like Martinez, right? I'm with you on that, Blue. The good thing about Alderman is I don't think he has that wear and tear, right? I think you obviously saw, I forgot his last name now, the kid from Louisville last year. That was pretty decent. He's the guy there with Don Chaney now. So those that combination is pretty set there as long as they stay healthy. But Alderman is a kid that can come in and produce right away. Damian Martinez as well. Penny Boone was, I know he was a talk with Miami as well for a little bit before he committed to Louisville. So, you know, there's some names out there that could potentially make a difference in that room. And quite frankly, we need the bodies there too, because yeah. Now we're low on bodies with three transfers, right? And all three were guys that were expected to come in and get significant playing time here. So it's something that you have to look at. I think some of the other names that you probably have to keep your eye on, Diani Hill is the cornerback from Marshall Blue. You know, a kid that obviously our new cornerbacks coach is very familiar with, and Chevis Jackson is very familiar with Diani Hill. He coached him at Marshall. He entered the transfer portal. He's a potential a transfer portal kid from Miami. You might look at some other guys. I know that what's his name? Grady Vance is in the transfer portal from Florida State. I know there's some other teams that are looking at him also. But he's a good prospect. I know Miami was on his radar also. So you've got some names out there. Who's the guy that we haven't mentioned yet, Blue, that you might know of that's in the transfer portal that you can say Miami might, you know, should go after this guy or is going after? We don't even.
Yeah, I think you pretty much nailed the guys that I think that they're making a priority.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think who else would be out there. I mean, that's.
What about a defensive tackle now that you lost Harrison Hunt? Is there somebody out there that maybe Miami's still looking at? Or
there were two guys in there, but the kid from USC and then the kid from yeah, and he's gone already. So yeah.
Romello Height committed to Georgia Tech. We all thought he was
going
to
be Miami. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so I think Miami goes and gets three or four, maybe four or five more guys in the portal.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to get four or five more guys.
Oh, what about the kid? I think they're looking at the kid from USC, the center, another offensive.
Not a bad player at all.
Yeah. So although
he came out, I didn't know he came out. He came out.
I believe he did. I know Carpenter looked really good in spring. So that's good because he's developing. He's kind of starting to understand. Look, he came from playing in a conference with Indiana where he wasn't facing these guys he's going to face in the ACC. So I think it took him a little time to kind of adjust to that level. And I think he's doing a good job now. Right. He still has his deficiencies per se, but I still think he's not going to be Matt Lee, but he's going to be serviceable. No. And you need a guy that can be serviceable. And, you know, if he gets his hands on you, he's going to hold, you know, he's going to hold you down. He's going to be able to block you. So that's a good thing. I don't want him holding, but I want him to make sure if he puts his hands on you, you're not going to get to the quarterback.
But you look back in the day when Miami was successful and you'd lose one guy like Casey Jones and then you come up with a Ty Wise and then it kept going and going, you see, and that's where a lot of these schools, that's why Georgia had 26 guys drafted in 2 years, you know, yep. I mean, because you build up to that point where you have all that talent, and that's why an Alabama could lose a Javion Cone, not really, you know, miss a beat up front, so, and he was everything here, so. Yeah. Yeah, like that's, you said, true. One man's trash is another man's treasure, so.
The Six Rig Kane Show. Yeah. The Six Rig Kane Show. Yeah. The Six Rigs Kane Show. You know.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.